Amen. That's powerful, isn't it? Well, before you're seated, turn around, say hi to someone, wave to someone, smile at them. I want to read out of Romans 5, verses 6 through 11 tonight. It says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God." Just a few things that struck me today. It says, at just the right time. At just the right time, God always shows up on time, doesn't he? We may not see it, but he is an on-time God. Then it says, while we were still sinners. See, God didn't come because we were good and we were perfect. He came because he is good and he is perfect, and simply because he loves us. And then it says, we have been made right in God's sight. You see, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see our past. He sees our future. He sees what we can be. He sees our potential. And then lastly, we are God's friends. You see, God wants a relationship with us. That's his whole purpose of coming and showing his love so beautifully on the cross. He wants that friendship with us. And so I ask you tonight, do you have that relationship with him? Do you have that friendship with him? And if you don't, what's stopping you? And if you do have that friendship with him, how are you drawing closer to him during this season? He wants a relationship with us. And then I'll end with, when we look at God's face, we see his glory. But when we look at the cross, we see his heart. See, his heart loves us. His heart wants the best for us. His heart wants a relationship with us. And so as we remember what he's done for us on this Good Friday, I pray that your relationship with him continues to grow and grow into something amazing. Amen? Amen. Let's get ready to give tonight. There's different ways that you can give up on the screen. You can text. You can download PushPay. You can give with an envelope. And there's two mailboxes on your way out that you can put it in. Or you can go online or send it through the mail anytime throughout the week. The Bible says to honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of everything that comes in, and then your barns will be overflowing and your vats will be filled with new wine. So honor him tonight with everything that you have, he has given you, because we honor who God is and what he's given to us. Amen. Amen.
Come on, give Pastor Aaron a hand. How you doing tonight? You're smiling. You look peaceful. How many of you are peaceful tonight? You feel the peace of God, don't you? May the peace of God rule in your heart. I'm thankful for his peace tonight, his love, his grace, his mercy, and his kindness tonight. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, I was reading this week, and it says these beautiful words in chapter 15. In verse 3, it says, "For what I have received, I pass on to you as of first importance." St. Paul says, what tonight represents, tell your neighbor, it's of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to scriptures, and that he appeared to Caiaphas and then to the 12 after that. He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom were still living, though some had fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. You can picture it right now, can't you? And last of all, appeared to me also. as to one abnormally born. And then I love these words that St. Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament, writes. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." But listen to these words, and I pray that you receive this in the name of Jesus. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was given to me is what really matters." Wow. I don't know about you, but there's moments in my life, many times when I walk up on this stage, I think to myself, what am I doing up here? Who am I? And these flashes of memories and times in my life where I fell so far short of God's glory and His majesty and His righteousness and who He is, the holiness of God, who He represents. I feel so far short, but St. Paul, he brings me an encouragement. He brings me a grace that I believe that we can all receive and we can all embrace. That he says, "I was the greatest of sinners. I was the greatest of failures. I persecuted the church. I persecuted what Jesus Christ stood for. I persecuted the cross, yet I received the grace of the cross. Yet I embraced the grace of Jesus Christ in full measure." Tonight, you might be here, you might say, "Man, it's great to be in church. It's great to be in the house of the Lord, but I just feel so unworthy. I feel like I've missed the bar so much, so deep, so far. I've fallen so far." Can I tell you tonight? You're in good company. That's where the cross of Jesus Christ in your life and in my life steps in. The grace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God meet you right where you are tonight. Not where you should be, not where you ought to be, not where you want to be, but right where you are. If you receive that grace, would you lift your hand tonight? Father, for each one here tonight, that your grace and mercy and kindness would fall on families tonight in great measure. Father, that we would sense what you came for, why you died. It was for us. It's for the grace that's beyond comprehension, the love that's beyond understanding. Your cross, your mercy, your grace. We just say, with our hands lifted tonight, we say thank you. We say thank you. We honor you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, can we put our hands together for the Lord tonight? Come on, let's give God the biggest praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, don't stop yet. Let's just give Him. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. Thank you, God. Spirit of the living God, do what you said you would do tonight. Have such an impact on our lives that we, just as Ryan said, we feel so below where we should be. But Lord, that when we come to you and come to the cross, you pick us up out of our troubles, out of our messes. We're so grateful for that tonight, God. Lord, there's people here and some that are watching at home who've never given their lives to you. Maybe have never understood what this moment means. I pray that tonight that our hearts, even some that have known you for a long time, renew, Lord, in some of us, just renew a right spirit in us. Lord, we give you praise and thanks for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, and everybody said a big, loud amen. Come on, give me a better, loud amen. That's beautiful, beautiful. It's great to be in God's house tonight. It's great to be here on Good Friday, April 2nd, 2021. A year ago when we did this, you know, if somebody would have told me 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, there's going to come a day and you're going to have Easter and no one's going to be in the building, I would have said, devil, get thee behind me, away behind me. And I believe the enemy had some influence on what took place. But as I said last night, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says in Malachi, he is the Lord God. He changes not. So when everything seems to be in chaos and just turned upside down around in our world, he is the constant that we can always depend on, we can always run to, we can always put our hope and our trust in. And I'm so grateful for all of you that are here tonight, those that are watching online at home. We love you. We thank God for you. You're part of our family. I get messages throughout the week from Florida, from state of Washington, from Africa, all over. And I'm just so grateful for that reach that God has helped us to have. In a few minutes tonight, we're going to share communion together, one with the other. If you're here and you didn't get one of the little communion cups on the way in, raise your hand up real high right now, and the gentlemen they'll bring those to you right now. Keep your hands up, guys. You see them? They're coming. They're a little slow, but they're worth waiting on. Just keep your hands up. To me, this season carries with it such a meaning. And as I said last night, this should be a time in our lives when our hearts and our eyes are open and refreshed and renewed. And not only tonight, but I want to encourage you, even when this season is through, it's not a time for us just to pause and say, oh, well, that was nice and that was good, but this is a season that makes such an adjustment in our lives that it has a lasting effect on every single one of us. And I just believe tonight that as we share communion together towards the end of this time, that God is going to help us put some things right in our lives. I really believe that with all of my heart. He gave his life for each one of us. He made a payment for you and I that we owed that he did not owe. We could not pay it, and he paid it for us. And to consider what Jesus did on the cross is why we partake together in this Good Friday. And that we realize that it is good for you and I. The Bible says that once you are saved, and once that we give our lives over to him, that we literally become, now listen to me, a part of the death that he experienced. We are a part of that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 2, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? That's why I say that tonight, I believe, is a season that we're in. And we've come out of a difficult, dark time. Some are still in that. Some are dealing with some pain of loss, and some are dealing with all kinds of circumstances around that. But I'm going to tell you something. He is here to help bring us out of that, because we are those who have died to sin. We are a part of that. In verse 6 in Romans, it says, for we know that our old self was crucified, look at this, with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. He says, Paul says that we died with him. And I'll explain that in just a moment. And Paul says again in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. And he forgave us of all of our sin. Can we just say, God, thank you for that right there? I mean, that ought to be enough for an eruption of God, thank you, in this house right now. He forgave you of all of our sin. Verse 14, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. I just want to share three quick little thoughts with you, and then we're going to partake of communion. Number one, your death died with Jesus. Verse 13 says, when you were dead in your sins. So you have to understand there's three kinds of death. There's, number one, there's a physical death. That means a separation from who is alive now to when we die. There is a physical separation. The second death is a spiritual death. That means a separation from God. And before any of us knew who Jesus was and what he is to us, you and I were separated from him. And then the third kind of death, that I live so that no one ever that I ever come in contact with would have to experience this. This is the eternal death. This is separation from God and the living forever. And what Paul is telling us in Colossians is that we were spiritually dead because of our sin. Verse 13, it says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ and forgave all of our sins. On the cross, Jesus destroyed spiritual death for everyone that would believe. For everyone. On the cross, he paid what you owed and could not pay. 2 Timothy 1:10 says it like this. Paul says it again. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So when you hear the word of God tonight, it's bringing hope to you. It's bringing life to you. It's bringing light into the darkness of your life. Colossians 2:13, God made you alive with Christ and forgave you of all of your sin. I want you to get that into your heart tonight. I want you to have that to be such a part of your life tonight, because at the cross, your spiritual death died with him. Oh, you're going to love this. Number two, at the cross, your debt died with Jesus. Colossians 2:13 and 14 again. Having forgiven us all of our trespasses. Look at this in verse 14. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. On the cross, God placed on Christ the sin of the world, of everyone. And to the ones that will say yes to him, they are no longer bound to the spiritual death in their life. Paul calls it a record of debt. And the word debt is only used in the Greek in the New Testament one time, and it's right here. And it means a receipt, a record of receipt. And this verse can be understood by Jesus canceling the record, the receipt of every sin that you and I have ever committed. You know, I was thinking about this, and I think of it especially when I go to BJ's. I get a little out of hand sometimes. I go there, and I start putting things in the cart, and I'm walking around, and then I go up and I check out, and I don't know if anybody else notices this, but it seems like even if I bought four or five things, I get this receipt like 6 feet long. And I said, what in the world's going on here? And then I begin to look at it, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't even remember putting that in the cart. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, I can't even remember that. And then I go up to get out of the store, and there's somebody up there, again, They're checking me out. In fact, I was there this week, and they checked me out, and they said, there's two things here you didn't pay for. Now they have the self-serve ones. I never go through. Well, I do once in a while, but I didn't the other day. And the person that checked me out missed two things. I had to go back and pay for it again. And some say when you get the bill, they say, what's the damages? By asking what it cost. Because it's a receipt for everything that I've gotten. And it always seems a whole lot more than I ever thought was on it. And Paul tells you and I that our lives, apart from Jesus, have a receipt attached to it of every sin that you and I have ever committed. I don't know about you, but when I watched that little video tonight, it messed me up. I've seen that video 100 times. When I watched that tonight, I don't know, I just started weeping because I've been thinking about this so much. Paul tells us in our lives, apart from God, that we hold this receipt of the sins that we have committed in our lives, that the wrongs that we have done, that the evil thoughts that we had, that the twisted thinking that in my life, things that I was involved in at the time, I didn't even realize they were a part of the enemy's plan to destroy my life. But the Bible says, even every evil thought, every negative word that has come out of my mouth and your mouth, every violation to the word, to the law of God, I have violated, and I've got some news for each and every one of you tonight and those watching at home, so haven't you. The Bible says none are righteous, not one. The Bible says that all of your righteousness, all of your goodness, anything good about you, if you stand before God without having Christ in your heart, it's just like filthy rags. And if it's like my receipt, I don't even know how long it would be when I saw that up on that screen, that reality of Jesus taking my sin and my, listen to me, not only my sin, but my spiritual death, taking the probability of my life being separated from God for eternity. Let me tell you something. I know none of you are like I am, but I was on a highway to hell before I knew who he was. My life was in shambles. My life was going nowhere. Now I was doing things that I didn't even understand. And Jesus says that when you come to him, he takes your certificate of death. The Bible says in Colossians 2:14, having canceled their certificate of death, consisting of decrees against us. Listen to this. Look at the word, which was also hostile to us. You see, my brothers and sisters, I just sense a wave of God's Holy Spirit now. The wages, the Bible said, of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he said he's taken that receipt. He's taken that long paper with everything that you and I have ever done that is wrong. Not only that, the Bible says that those sins were hostile to us. How many of you know that David said, my sin is ever before me. The pain of it, the agony of it. And if that's not enough, you know, the enemy, he will just contrive everything he can to make you just feel terrible about what's taken place and happened in your life. But the Bible says, Paul says, he not only canceled that certificate of death, he took that long receipt. And he cleaned it and wiped it off. He canceled the charges. He stepped. I wish he'd do that in BJ's for me sometime. Just step out of heaven and say, I got that. More than that, I want him to step into my life and to your life. I want him to step into somebody's life tonight that you're jacked up. You don't even realize what's happening in your life. And Jesus says, I've come. I want to help you. I want to take over your life and show you the potential that I have created in and for you. And take the certificate of hostility, of debt away and clean your heart and clean your life. Because the truth is, without him, there's nothing you and I can do about it. Not a thing. He canceled the record of our debt. The word for cancel means he wiped it out. King James says he blotted it out. It doesn't even exist. When you give your life to Christ, let me tell you, I didn't learn this overnight. And the older I get, the more I appreciate it. That when I give my life to Christ, when you've given your life to Christ, he takes the sin, the wrong, the brokenness, the evil, and he wipes it clean. He's not like some of the old chalkboards over to St. Anthony's. You write on, wipe them off, you can still see behind. How many of you remember those in school? You could still see behind it. The teacher would write up a math problem, then wipe it off. And I'd be looking up there. Ah, that's how you do. That's where the answer. That's not what he does. It's gone. Jesus has cleaned you and washed away your sin. I love the old song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus tonight. Canceled the record of debt. Set it aside, nailing it to the cross. And then the last thing, number three. Your enemy's power against you has been disarmed. When you surrender to him, the power of the enemy in your life, I'm speaking to somebody right now. You need to hear this. You need to embrace this. Maybe I'm talking to somebody at home. Maybe you're just living. People call me and text me and send me messages through the week. And I tell them, come to church, watch us online. God wants to help you. He's not mad at anybody. He loves you. Christ Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved. Number three, the enemy's power against you has been disarmed. Look at that in Colossians 2:15. I love how the New American Standard says, when he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. And the Message Bible says it even more. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. He was using a Roman term here, that when the Roman army would defeat an enemy, they would march them through the street to allow everybody to see that the Roman soldiers, they were the victors, and the ones that they were marching through the street were the losers. And Paul says it like this, that when Jesus comes into your heart, when he died on the cross of Calvary and took the sin of the world upon him, your sin and my sin, he disarmed, the Bible says, principalities and powers and made a public display of them. They have no power over you anymore. They have no dominion over you anymore. They have no control in your home, in your family. Come on. I said, the enemy has been defeated in your life. Come on, if you love him, give him a great praise tonight. Close your eyes with me and bow your head. I just want to prepare our hearts for communion tonight. I want you to open up your life right now. If you've never given your life to Jesus, this is a moment in your life that you need to do this. You need to ask him to come into your heart. Be the Lord and the master of your life. And maybe you have done this before. And you've just walked away from him. You found yourself lost. just feel like telling somebody tonight, come on home. Come on home. He loves you so much. I just feel that love of God extending out, not only in the house, but online tonight. Come on home. Everybody say this with me. Everyone. For some of you, you're saying it maybe for the first time. For some of you, you're going to mean it. For some of you, you need a refreshing of it. But I want everybody to say this. Unless you don't want anything to do with Him. Unless you want to live spiritually blind and dead and risk eternity separated from Him. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I want to give up my life now. You have, I don't care how good your life is, your life is nothing without Him. Say this, everyone in this house. Say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Good Friday. I come to you with an open heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And I'm going to begin to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Pastor Aaron.
What a powerful message tonight. We're going to partake in communion right now, and I just encourage you just to reflect and remember on everything that God has done in our lives. That's why we take communion, is just to do that. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of remembering. In 1 Corinthians, it says, on the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and He gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it into pieces, and He said to His disciples, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember as we take the bread together.
Thank you, Lord. The Bible says in the same way He took the cup, this cup should mean so much to each and every one of us tonight. This is the New Testament. This is the blood of the Lamb. He said, this is my blood, which is going to be shed for you. When you drink it, remember. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for power in the blood. Let's partake together tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For some of you, He's speaking to you now. For some of you, He's rearranging some things in your life, in your heart. At the end of this service tonight, if you're here and you're battling with a physical condition, you're battling with depression, there's a hindrance over your life, Pastor Ryan will tell you when. I want to invite you to come before you leave. Just come to the altar just a moment, and we're going to pray over you and pray together for you tonight.
Would you stand with us?